Lecture topic, accepting mistakes.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Amma ba'du fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Fatalaqqa adamu min rabbihi kalimatin fataba alayhi. Innahu huwa at-tawwabur rahim. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Most respected students of Deen, mothers and sisters, this ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala mentions that Adam alayhi salam learned some kalimat, some expressions from Allah Ta'ala. He gained it and then he presented his repentance to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala forgave him. So to start off with, the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are completely sinless. They are ma'asoom. They commit and can never commit any sin. And they are all the time in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. What did happen sometimes, that there was a complete, something that happened completely in error. So disobedience is something deliberate. Disobedience is something where the person deliberately does something. A simple example to understand what is a mistake and what is deliberate. A person is fasting and he does not remember his fasting. And in that complete forgetfulness, he ate or drank something. So everybody knows the mas'ala that his fast doesn't break, his fast is still intact. And the other is another level, though mistake, he's forgiven for that mistake too, but it'll break the fast, that he's conscious that he's fasting, he's aware he's fasting, he was gargling his mouth in wudu, but at that time something happened, maybe just coughed, or some, and as a result some water went down the throat. So now that will break the fast, but he's not going to be sinful because it was a total mistake. So now these are different levels. One is complete forgot about the command or the fact that one was fasting. The other is remembering the fast, but something happened in sheer mistake. Allah Ta'ala has forgiven all this. In one instance, the qaza will be made. The other instance, nothing has happened to the fast also, but there is no accountability for it. Person will not be taken to task. So something of this nature sometimes happen from the Anbiya alayhi salam as well, that something happened in complete forgetfulness. Allah Ta'ala willed it so, but they never ever commit and never ever committed any wrong, any sin. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was commanded to refrain from eating from a certain tree. But in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says, فَنَسِيَ وَلَمْ نَجِدْ لَهُ عَزْمًا. He forgot and he consumed from that tree. Allah says there was no deliberate intent on his part. He did not deliberately do something that was not in order. He forgot. So there was no sin. But despite the fact that there was no sin here, despite the fact that this was completely a mistake, but both Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and Hazrat Hawa radiallahu ta'ala anha, both of them turned to Allah Ta'ala with words of repentance. And that is what is being referred to in this ayat that was recited, فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. The words of repentance Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran Sharif so that we can also latch onto it. And the words of repentance were, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِلَّمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. So Allah Ta'ala inspired these words of repentance into their hearts. This is what is being referred to in the ayat, فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ. Allah Ta'ala inspired this. And then they turn to Allah Ta'ala in these words, and when they sought sincere forgiveness, though there was no sin on their path, Allah Ta'ala then gave them even a higher position. So what the point in this is, that this was the expression of their genuine humility and servitude, that there was no pride whatsoever. There was complete submission to Allah Ta'ala. When a person has sincerity, and when a person has humility, these are two very essential things. Sincerity, without sincerity, everything will be lost. If a person doesn't have ikhlas, doesn't have sincerity, is doing good things with bad intentions to do things for praise, for name and fame, to make an impression on people, it's all part of bad intentions, very bad intentions. So a person is doing a good act, performing salah very nicely, mashallah, but the hope is that this person must see me and must think very good of me. This is obviously now a serious problem. This is doing something for other than Allah Ta'ala. And doing something for other than Allah Ta'ala is riya. A good action of deen, doing it for other than Allah Ta'ala is riya. And that is now going to destroy that deed. So one is ikhlas, sincerity. Whatever is done, to be done for Allah Ta'ala alone. So if a person is sincere, what sincerity demands? The person who's sincere will keep checking and double checking and triple checking, that will this be a means of pleasing Allah Ta'ala? What I want to say, what I want to do, will this earn the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala? Now when a person is going to be checking all the time and be conscious all the time, be concerned all the time, that my statement that I'm going to make now, what action I want to do now, is it going to be pleasing to Allah Ta'ala? When that is going to become the concern, and that is going to be what a person is all the time checking and double checking, then we'll get saved from acting on the dictates of nafs, on the dictates of this lowly self within us, that it wants to impress people, wants to show off, wants to keep one's position now. So therefore, as a result, what happens? Person doesn't accept one's own mistake. Because now if I accept that I was wrong, then what people will think of me, or somebody, what they'll say. Now in order to avoid some negative comment from somebody, or what we think people might then have some impression about us, a negative impression, so we want to save ourselves from that. So now the person does so many things to try and prevent that so-called impression getting affected. That image, the positive image we want to create in the hearts of people. So now for that, we refuse to accept our mistake. We made a mistake about something, but we're not prepared to accept it. We will try to justify it in some way or the other. Now this stems from a lack of ikhlas, and together with that, a lack of humility. If either there's no ikhlas, and sometimes a person has some level of ikhlas, but there's pride also still lurking in the heart. So the element of pride also is batarul haqq, rejecting the truth. So when a person has ikhlas, they are genuinely sincere, they're doing things for Allah Ta'ala. So whether it's in the four walls of the home, we're doing something, we're not going to do it just because we want some praise. Whether it is anywhere else, we will do it for Allah Ta'ala. So either, or if a person has ikhlas, then in the process of doing things, we are insan, we might err, and we do err, a person will have no issue with accepting correction. If somebody has corrected us, we'll wholeheartedly accept it. There won't be any issue with it. Why? because we are concerned that Allah Ta'ala must be pleased. And in order to earn the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, we need to do the things that are correct. And if somebody is correcting us, then they're doing us a very great favor. And as a result, they are helping us. So we should be very grateful to them. But if ikhlas is missing, very hard to accept that, okay, this was my fault. If not, that we won't reject it, but we'll have some kind of, some explanation we'll have to give of it to try to still maintain the image or still maintain it that we were not wrong. But that is a very, very negative approach and a very harmful approach. So one is sincerity and the other is humility. To be humble. Be the humble slave of Allah Ta'ala. The image we must be creating is that Allah Ta'ala must become pleased. Not just for the appearance, the reality. Allah must become pleased with us. Because Allah is aware of everything. يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ وَأَخْفَى. He knows what is hidden and what is completely concealed. Everything Allah knows. What is apparent, what is hidden, is all in front of Him. So we cannot hide our intentions from Allah Ta'ala. We cannot hide what we are hiding from people and think we got away from Allah Ta'ala as well. He knows whatever we are saying, what we're doing, what's going on, what we're hiding. Allah is aware of everything. So the other is humility. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and Hazrat Hawa radiallahu ta'ala anha, what is clear from their response when Allah Ta'ala asked them, Alam anhakuma antilkuma shajarati wa aqul lakuma inna shaitana lakuma aduwwum mubeen, that did I not forbid you from that tree and I told you shaitan is your open enemy? So their response, qala rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin. They immediately turned to Allah Ta'ala in repentance, whereas they could have given the response, but I forgot, or we forgot. And Allah Ta'ala has already forgiven when something has happened completely in forgetfulness. Like we understood the example, even the fast won't break. So they could have presented that. There was no harm in saying that in terms of apparent thinking. But they didn't do that. Whereas if that's what they said, it would have been 100% correct. There was nothing wrong about what they were saying. But they did not do that. What did they do? They turned to Allah Ta'ala in utmost humility. Qala Rabbana walamna anfusana. O Rabb, we have oppressed ourselves. Subhanallah. Can we imagine at what level they are humbling themselves, that despite the fact that this was not even any level of sin, and it was a matter of complete forgetfulness, which they are not accountable for, but they are describing it as zulm upon themselves. Qala Rabbana walamna anfusana. We've committed zulm upon ourselves. Now who can say this in this manner? A person who's genuinely regretful and remorseful, even on something that was not a sin, but why it happened in that way, I should have been more careful, I should have done it correctly. Now though it was no sin, but now that Allah Ta'ala must not be displeased with me. So they turn in utmost humility to Allah Ta'ala. Now this stems from that ikhlas and the humility, the sincerity and the humility. Now, it's a point for us to reflect all these incidents mentioned in the Quran Sharif, this incident that is there about Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and Hazrat Hawa radiallahu ta'ala anha is also part of this incident. So it's mentioned in the Quran not for us to just learn a historical fact or something just for the exams. It is a lesson for life, for our lives. That in every situation, we must make sure what we are saying, what we are doing, is with sincerity. It's for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. There isn't ulterior motives in it. It's not just being nasty or rude or just being difficult unnecessarily. I'll fix this person. I'll show them a point. I'll get mine back. Whatever, all the things that shaitan and nafs drive a person to. No, I am the humble slave of Allah Ta'ala. Others are also the slaves of Allah Ta'ala. I'm going to try to do what is best, what will bring me closer to Allah Ta'ala. If now forgiving somebody is going to bring me closer, I'll do that. If humbling myself and accepting my mistake, I'll do it. Whatever it takes to get closer to Allah Ta'ala, I'll do it. Now then, when this will happen? If there is sincerity and humility. So, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and our mother Hazrat Hawa radiallahu ta'ala anha have taught us a very, very big lesson. Whereas they were not sinful here, they did not deliberately do anything wrong. Now let us think about the situations in our lives. How many times, for example, our parents may perhaps advise us on some matter, let alone maybe reprimanding because they thought maybe we doing something that's not in order or whatever. Even if they gave us some good advice, how many times it happens that a parent complains, I was merely advising my son or my daughter, and they started snapping back that, what do you mean by telling me this? You think I'm involved in all this wrong? Whereas advice, mashallah, it doesn't mean if a person is being advised, for example, general advice a person is being given, that look, don't ever misuse the phone. Now, for example, general advice. So if somebody was given that advice, and alhamdulillah, they never ever misused the phone. Alhamdulillah, very great aspect. And in this time and age, when people just slip by, and this person is keeping firm, alhamdulillah, this is a very great thing. So, now somebody is giving the advice, don't ever misuse the phone, and this person never ever misused the phone. So is it something to get angry about that, why are you giving me this advice? What do you think of yourself? Who are you to tell me? What you think, am I also guilty of this? All the kind of statements that are made of this nature, when somebody advises us, is that correct? If somebody advised us not to misuse the phone, and alhamdulillah, with the tawfiq of Allah Ta'ala, we have been staying far away from any misuse or abuse. So has the person harmed us in any way? Has the person caused us some loss? Gave us good advice, alhamdulillah, and we appreciate that advice, make shukr for it. Inshallah, we'll get greater tawfiq if we're staying away from whatever the wrongs are. This advice, we appreciated it. Inshallah, we'll get more tawfiq. But now, if the reaction is negative, who are you? Don't you think, or do you think that I am guilty of this? And what's your problem? So, in other words, we are rejecting good advice that stems from pride. It's advice, alhamdulillah, and good advice. Very good advice. So, why should we take offense? What is the reason that we are offended? The offense is due to the pride. So we need to remove the pride. We need to learn this humility. And for all seniors and adults, and including the people who are studying with us, our classmates, we must be humble with all. And be very approachable and ready to accept any correction. If somebody is correcting us, we should not conduct ourselves in such a way that the person to start off with will be scratching their head 10 times, that should I tell this person or not? So now why must think 10 times? See, now if I tell this person, then this person has a habit of then telling you 10 things. So in other words, attack is the best form of defense. Now this person corrected me, I need to defend myself. So how am I going to defend myself? I'm going to attack him back. Whereas in the Hadith Sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, "Wa in imru'un shatamaka aw ayyaraka bima ya'lamu fik, fala tu'ayyirhu bima ta'lamu fihi." فَإِنَّمَا وَبَالُهُ وَبَالُ ذَلِكَ عَلَيْهِ. If somebody abuses you verbally, shatamaka, person has been swearing, or whatever else might have been said, or Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam further says, أَوْ أَيَّرَكَ, he taunted you about something that he knows about you. So he or she taunted you about some weakness, some problem you have. So what is the advice? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَلَا تُعَيِّرْهُ بِمَا تَعْلَمُ فِيهِ. You don't respond in the like manner. You don't taunt the person based on some weakness that you know about the about him. Some problem that he has or she has, and you are aware of it. So you don't go in that same direction. If somebody is behaving in a lowly manner, in a despicable manner, then you don't follow suit. Maintain the high level of morality. Maintain the respect. Don't just go stoop down to the level that some others have stooped down already. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, فَلَا تُعَيِّرْهُ بِمَا تَعْلَمُ فِيهِ. Don't get back into the same rut and the same cycle, and don't taunt the person over something you know about him, because the sin of this will be on his head. So you don't share that sin with him. Forgive it, very good, but otherwise don't share the sin by you also getting involved in a similar thing. So this is the teaching that Shariat has given us, that we don't go about taunting people or making a public announcement of somebody else's mistake, etc. And then if somebody corrects us, we can't take the correction, we have a problem with it, we're taking offense instead. So number one is this humility, the sincerity, and alongside is humility. And you should keep checking. In fact, it will be very useful if we have these two words written somewhere where our gaze will fall regularly on our desk. On one corner, we have a small little page there with these two words written there. Sincerity and humility. Maybe on the corner of the board in the class, these two words, sincerity and humility. That every time we see it, we are being reminded that I must check my intentions, I must double check it and make sure I do what is going to be pleasing to Allah Ta'ala. I don't fall into anything that will be displeasing to Him. So we need to double check this and repeatedly check. And when we will adopt this approach, inshallah, because we are wholeheartedly accepting correction, so a lot of our islah will get made in this manner through people around us who are like we are in whatever category, they are the same. They doing their farais, their farsala and so on. But they just taking life for granted afterwards, taking things casually. So now, when this correction will be accepted, that will improve. You don't carry on like that. We just take it for granted. I'm fine. Whereas when we get corrected and we accept the correction, we'll understand that that was not fine. I need to move forward in deen now. I need to do more. I need to do better. So this aspect is a very, very crucial aspect, that we have to humble ourselves. We have to turn to Allah Ta'ala in genuine humility, genuine submission, and beg Allah's forgiveness, and listen to our seniors. They are teaching us, they are helping us to get closer to Allah Ta'ala. We should be very appreciative of this. It's not just something just being done like an academic thing in some school. This is connecting us to Allah Ta'ala. So we need to be very respectful and always bear in mind this lesson, that sincerity and humility, then we'll be able to act correctly. Otherwise, if the pride is allowed to take its to root itself in, that pride, Allah forbid, where it'll take us, and where it'll destroy us, and what kind of harm it'll cause to us. And likewise, the lack of sincerity will become a very severe matter on the day of Qiyamah. So in this regard, we need to keep checking in our lives, keep humbling ourselves. How are we going to make ourselves humble? So one very simple prescription. Very simple prescription. Very simple in the sense, very easy to do. No difficulty involved. And no time really involved, no cost at all. In the Hadith Sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Al-badi'u bis-salam, bari'um min al-kibr." The one who initiates salam, who is the one to first make salam, such a person will become free of pride. Now, one is that everything is fine between us and somebody. We are good friends. So now when we pass each other, so each one is very cheerfully, wholeheartedly making salam. Unfortunately, many a times we don't make salam. Sometimes simply because now, I don't know who's this person, but we know he's a Muslim. The signs are all there. Person is dressed as a Muslim. I don't know who's this person, so why should I make salam? Or that person too should make salam, so why tell me only? All the excuses we make for ourselves and get deprived. When a person has this approach, we get deprived. So to make salam common, that's the instruction in the Hadith Sharif. Afshu salama baynakum. Make salam common, spread salam among the people. So in any case, this person who we were talking about, initiating salam. So with young, with old, anybody, we be the one to initiate the salam. And the effect of this, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, bari'um min al-kibr, will become free of pride. So one is a situation where everything is fine between us and somebody we now saw, we're meeting, we're passing, then we'll cheerfully make salam. And that is if we make it. Sometimes people don't make. But then, supposing there is some issue with somebody, for whatever reason, we are not too thrilled about that person, we're not feeling very happy about the person, then what do we do? So now, if we see that person coming from the opposite end, we'll suddenly remember that I forgot something, I need to take a U-turn also. But that U-turn is not because I really forgot something, it's just because now I have to, in this corridor, I'll have to walk past the person. So now, if I walk past, I'm going to have to make salam. I don't make salam. So to avoid the salam, we're avoiding even where the salah is being performed with jama'ah, where we could have benefited in our deen, we got our own problem with that. What a deprivation, what a terrible loss. And where is this loss stemming from? From the pride, from the lack of sincerity. So we should spell it out that I made this mistake, and I nevertheless apologized, and inshallah I've been forgiven by the people concerned also, and also Allah Ta'ala forgive me. When we will take this approach, people will come more with corrections. And when they come more with corrections, we'll have a better opportunity of correcting ourselves. And we'll be able to make progress in this. Otherwise, we'll go in the same circle. So we need to turn to Allah Ta'ala in all sincerity, all humility, and also beg our forgiveness from Allah Ta'ala. And likewise, the people around us, if we have erred somewhere, we seek their forgiveness. Going forward, we be open for correction. And if supposing when somebody corrects us, we think this person is misinformed or didn't understand the issue correctly, doesn't matter, keep quiet about it. If you want to clarify it later, by all means, in a very nice way, in a humble way, but at that time, listen carefully and wholeheartedly accept from our seniors whatever they've told us. And in this way, inshallah, we will see the special nusrat and the help of Allah Ta'ala. So this is the message and the lesson that we have to learn from these incidents of the Quran Sharif and become the true and humble slaves of Allah Ta'ala. This is what's going to benefit us and protect us and take us from strength to strength and make us very close to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala guide us and give us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله
ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم افتح لنا بالخير واختم لنا بالخير واجعل عواقب أمورنا بالخير بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله.